Today, the Players' Championship began in Ponte Vedra outside Jacksonville. This is where the itch for the Masters really begins. You get to scratch it a little bit. And Xander Schauffele, Roy McIlroy, Wyndham Clark, 7 under 65 today. They're at the top of the leaderboard. Nick Taylor, Matt Fitzpatrick, they're at 66. Tom Hoagie, Jason Day, Scotty Scheffler among those at 67. As far as any others that we like to keep up with, Carson Young, 71. Justin Thomas, 71. Colin Morikawa, 71. Ben Martin's on the course at minus one. Matt Neesmith, a 73. And Andrew Novak's on the course at plus one. Jordan Spieth, a 74. Lucas Glover, a 75. All there to take it in. MJ Ward, our golf reporter international, joining us here once again for another golf season on Sports Talk. MJ, welcome. How are you?
It's a pleasure to be with you, Phil.
Man, it's always good to have you with us because that means it's time to get into the serious golf business in the world, and this is a good place to start. How are the conditions? What'd you think of the play today?
Well, I just think that, you know, people had been wondering when are all the top names going to start to resurface because of all the new and recent winners that have been playing on the tour. And you saw last week with Scottie Scheffler winning for the first time in probably 11 months or so. And now you got a leaderboard, and it's, you know, at the very top, you have some of the best names in the sport. And, you know, Scottie Scheffler is only two shots off the lead. So I think you're going to see once again that, you know, the form is going to start to take hold because these are the events that really matter the most. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how things shake out. But today was a real good scoring day for everybody. I mean, you're talking probably 70 players plus are going to be under par. There really wasn't much of a win factor, you know, to start with. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, how Rory McIlroy does. I mean, he tied a record today with 10 birdies. He also inexplicably made a double bogey on number 7, and then he bogeyed number 18. But if we should get a combination of Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, Xander, Wyndham Clark, that's as good as it gets in terms of professional golf.
Absolutely. Help me out here, because I read the same thing about Rory having 10 birdies, but I'm looking at his card on the PGA leaderboard, and I'm only seeing 9 circles. What am I missing? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the front, 7, 8, 9, 3 on the back. Am I missing one somewhere, obviously?
My understanding is...
I see it. I missed it here. Okay.
Yes, you missed
tenth
it.
One.
Yeah, there is 10.
There is 10. I missed the last hole there because he started on the front, started on the back, finished on the front. I failed to count the birdie at number 9 there coming in. So, okay, my bad. So 10 birdies, that's great playing. And the conditions today with the scores looking like they are, conditions were fairly calm, you think? Good conditions for scoring?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, I've seen days at TPC Sawgrass where, you know, the wind will come up, especially in the afternoon. You know, March is a transition month. When you're in that northern portion of Florida, the tournament had been moved from the March period to May, and then when they made the switch with the PGA Championship, they flipped out the players back into the March timeframe. Now, it's just that, you know, I think people started to panic a little too soon and said, where are the big names? The big names are coming forward, and, you know, they're starting to pace themselves because you got to keep this in mind. Every month now, starting with this month, there's going to be a major event going on through the month of July. So you're going to have the Masters in April, the PGA in May, the U.S. Open in June, and then the Open Championship in July. So, you know, you really have to pace yourself in terms of where you're going to be at with your game. You have to play enough, but you can't play too much, and you have to find that kind of balance line. And I think you're going to see that this week for the balance of the tournament.
Visiting with the MJ Ward. So, you know, with the majors, the four majors as we identify them. You know, the Masters sets up Augusta National. The PGA sets up the PGA Championship course. Royal and Ancient does it for the Open. And, of course, USGA does it for the U.S. Open. Now, this is not a major. This is a PGA regular event, but it's considered by many to be like a major. But so is it the PGA itself that sets up this course on an annual basis, or is it some
other?
No,
the tour people.
Yeah,
no, the
this
tour
is just regular tour
it.
People? Yeah.
Yeah, the tour people do it, but they've also, over the years, I mean, you know, one of the famous quotes when they first opened the golf course and they asked Jack Nicklaus, and Jack's comment was, "I'm not really skilled at hitting a five iron on the top of a hood of a car." You know, that was his comment. And the golf course was not really, let's just say, received in the best of lights when it first came into being. But over the course of many years of tweaking, making sure that, you know, there's opportunities for players to score, that the thing about Sawgrass, Phil, more than anything else, there's an exposure factor. And when you have penalty areas almost on just about every hole out there, especially the final three, and everybody knows about the 17th hole, you just have a psychological roller coaster that can go on where you're cruising along, and then all of a sudden something can happen. McIlroy went through that, but he was able to rebound and, you know, finish off the round with a birdie at the ninth, which was his 18th hole. But there is an exposure factor when you're playing out there. If you're not totally committed to the shots that you've got to play, danger is lurking at any point in time out there. You cannot simply put it on cruise control when you're playing here. You have to constantly be moving forward. It's sort of like being patiently aggressive. If you can do those two things and put them together, then you're going to be able to have a best chance at being in contention late Sunday.
MJ, help me understand something here with the players. PGA Tour Communications just tweeted out about 5 minutes ago that the first round has been suspended due to darkness and will resume at 8:50 tomorrow. Meantime, the second round is going to begin as scheduled at 7:40 a.m. tomorrow. Now, with them going off both tees, is that not going to cause some trouble with the pin placements, because they can't move the pin placements for the guys who haven't finished, right? They've got to go through
That's the first round as was originally set up.
So why wouldn't you start?
They have to play the pin placements that everybody had in round one. I mean, you know, they realize that when you have that many players, and keep in mind, even though we changed to daylight savings time, when you have a field of this size, getting everybody around is no small chore, because you have major amount of situations where rulings are going to take place, people going into water. Rory faced that today at the seventh hole. I mean, there was a discussion about where his ball had crossed into the penalty area. So, you know, you're going to have these kind of situations happen. But, yes, I mean, ultimately, everybody plays the pins from round one, and then whatever is going out to start round two, they'll be played in new pin placements for that round.
Is there a reason, though, they wouldn't just finish the first round at 7:40 in the morning and then start the second round after everybody was done?
Well, I will tell you this. Like in all sports, it's television. I mean, at the end of the day, you're trying to accomplish a lot given a little bit of a window that you have. I think one of the things that people don't really ever think about, you know, especially the average viewer, when they do flip, obviously, tee times between who goes out in the morning wave and the afternoon time frames, is how early you have to be prepared to play on certain days on tour. I mean, it is not unheard of for people to have 4 or 5 o'clock wake-up times to get prepared for a 7 o'clock or 7:30 tee time. You know, this is part of what goes on with professional golf. I know in Tiger's case, you know, he sets up a number of different hours in advance when he was playing with all the different surgeries just to be prepared for that early time frame, which everybody has to face at some point, whether it's in the first round or the second round. So it's a major thing that many people really don't ever think about, but it's something that goes on with the tour each and every week.
MJ, great stuff as always. Enjoy the evening, the full day tomorrow, and you'll be with us tomorrow night for birdies and bogeys and biceps with George Brian. Look forward to having you with us.
Guys, always a pleasure. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks, MJ.
MJ Ward from down there in Jacksonville. A great question on your end there, Chris.